Hey, thanks for joining us today. This is Ken Watmore, 1615.tv, and I am here with the president and founder of the China Resource Center, Mike Falkenstein. Mike, how are you?
Fine. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being on the show with us. Let's go into this. Let's talk to our audience first about who you are, what the China Resource Center is, and something that we're launching into, and that's a show called the China Resource right here on our station, and I'm so excited to have that.
Yeah, I'd love to give everyone an update.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'll point people there. Let me start by telling people who you are, and I'm actually going to let you do that because I wouldn't do it very well because I'm not you.
Okay.
Who is Mike Falkenstein?
Well, I grew up here in the Denver area and went to Colorado State University, and was while I was there, God really grabbed my heart for China and the Chinese people. Actually, I had a roommate who was from Taiwan, and that's, of course, we'll get into more of that a little later, but so I definitely have a heart for China and the Chinese people. I am married. My wife, Sherry, and I have been married for 12 years, and we've got 3 kids, so we're just here. We live in kind of South Denver metro area, and I direct this organization called the China Resource Center. And so that's a little bit about me.
Well, tell me, what is the organization? And then we'll go into the history of how it started. What does China Resource Center do?
Well, when if you fast forward through my story, my life story, we lived in China, my wife and I, and at that time we had 2 of our kids. We lived in China for 1.5 years while I was doing a full-time language study. And it was while we were there that we actually began meeting some of these Chinese pastors who began to tell us some of what God was doing in China. And in particular, we were hearing about just this massive growth of the church in China, and you know, getting to know these guys. And over the time we were there, they just became friends of ours. And of course, we already had a heart for China and the Chinese people. And so, as we were getting ready to leave, this would have been kind of 2001, 2002 time period. They had asked us as we were preparing to leave if we would be willing to help them with some needs that they had. In particular, out in these rural areas of China, they had a massive need for Bibles. You know, we had all these new Christians that couldn't afford Bibles, or Bibles weren't available out in these very remote areas. And so they needed Bibles. They needed new church buildings. And so we came back from that time just very sort of burdened for what God was doing out in these areas. Looked in the U.S. for another organization that was already doing that kind of work, serving the growth of the church in China. Couldn't find one, sort of mulled around about what to do about that. And then finally, some folks that we walk pretty closely with said, hey, sounds like you've got a great ministry plan. You've got obviously the need. Why don't you start this new organization? So in 2005, we started the China Resource Center to serve the growth of the church in China. I've also had a real heart to what we call clarify Western perceptions about China and the church. And so you'd mentioned this new radio show. That's one thing that we will be doing to clarify these perceptions. I think there's a lot of old paradigms about China floating around in sort of the Western church. And so we have a heart to clarify those and help people engage in China. And then just recently, as we've been doing our projects in China, we found that there's an opportunity to work together with government officials in Beijing in particular, helping them implement some of these new laws on religious freedom. Mm-hmm. And so those are really the 3 things that the China Resource Center does. So we've been at it now a little over 4 years, and we're just now really seeing a lot of growth in our projects. You know how that is when you first start an organization, you're just kind of getting your feet wet at first. And yeah. I'd never really done any nonprofit management before. You know, I'm a real ministry kind of with people kind of person. And so I've learned a ton, and it's just been a great ride of faith. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, that's awesome. And I will point to we're going to have the show on starting the week from Saturday, which is going to be June 6. We'll have the first show on at 5:30 p.m.
Great.
It's going to be called the China Resource, and then we'll go from there. Every week we're going to have the show on. I want to have everybody tune in at 5:30 on Saturdays right after our featured artist show and be able to listen to what you're doing and what's going on in China and maybe get some clarification on the perceptions of the Western Church. Now, let's talk about that for just 1 second, because you enlightened me a little bit to some things that I didn't necessarily realize, and that's that we do see, or we do hear, I should say, about the persecuted church in China, and it's, you know, everybody's underground, and it's, and I know that that goes on, and I don't want to slight that at all.
Right.
But you're seeing something a little bit different, and when you mentioned that the government officials are helping you, talk to that for a minute, because that's a surprise to me.
Yeah. You know, I don't know exactly, I can't point to one type of thing that happened that that got us on this track other than just God, you know, doing a work, I think. But my experience in China has always been that, you know, I wrote a book about China called The Chinese Puzzle. And in my book, I mentioned that when my first trip to China was in 1996. And at that time in the 1990s, the Chinese government was reforming different sectors of their society and their laws. And so I think part of it is just how, just when I first came into China, I was kind of in the middle of these, got involved with in the middle of these changes, as opposed to Westerners who maybe got involved in China in the 1980s, early 1980s, when things were much different in China. You did have to be very careful about what you said there, and the Christian church was much more persecuted at that time. And as we got into the 90s, what we began to see when I first began to get involved in China is that there was, and we didn't find this out till some years later, but at that time they were beginning to see that the Christianity and the church in China was becoming a real benefit to their society. And so there's a book, a famous book that came out in 2003 called Jesus in Beijing, written by the former Time Magazine Beijing bureau chief, David Aikman, I'm sorry. And he writes in the very first chapter of his book, a speech that he heard, this would have been probably 2000 or 2001, where he said that the person who was speaking, this Chinese Academy of Social Sciences guy, which that organization is a government think tank, and he said, we looked at the West and what made the West most preeminent in the world. We thought at first it was your military. We thought maybe that it was your economic system, or you had hard workers there. And as they stripped it all down, what they found out, and these are Chinese government researchers, that the Christian moral foundation that kind of founded the United States, founded our country, was what made our country so powerful. And they said, they made that connection of, okay, that's what made the West so powerful. Is there something in that that we then can use in our own Chinese culture? And so starting in sort of the late 90s, they really began to make things a lot more easier for people of faith. You know, that's when we began to see Bibles being printed legally in China.
Wow.
These churches were growing in a much more open fashion. And so as that all that was happening is when really I got involved in China. And so I've always sort of had a much more open approach to working in China than other people have.
Right.
And so all that we do now in China is done very openly and legally. And in general, you talked about, you know, us working together with government officials. I think a lot of Americans think of, you know, communism is bad, and so therefore these government officials must be bad.
Right.
But as I've gotten to know these guys, I mean, they're just guys who are just trying to earn a living, and they've got families, and boy, if you can come alongside them and help them and, you know, make them do their job better, they're real happy to do it, you know, and I have not found a real agenda to suppress Christianity, amongst what we do, nor, in their other activities that they're doing with their jobs. So as you look through our organization, really all that we do is done very, very openly, and we've found a very good reception amongst government officials.
And that's encouraging. And, you know, it's probably even more encouraging for us here in America to hear what maybe needs to be heard a lot more, and that's that the foundations of our country are what make us so strong
that's
and glue
right.
us together. And, man, I feel like we're losing that in our own country,
mm-hmm.
and yet here I'm hearing that it is prevailing in other countries. And we set an example, and what a testament that we could actually set an example for the rest of the world with our Christian moral values, and that's proceeding into places like China, where we all think that it's such a terrible thing. And, again, I'm sure that there is plenty of pockets of, you know, areas where it might not be so easy, because I do hear plenty of missionaries that come back and say, man, you know, we're having a tough time getting through, or for whatever reason there. But you're saying you have the opportunity to hand out Bibles freely. They're printing Bibles legally, and it really is not you're not running into major obstacles.
That's right.
Per se.
And even amongst the, of course, I don't know the people that you're talking to.
Sure.
But I think in general, there's really two ways to engage in China. One is, as we have done, develop these relationships with government officials. The other way, which is probably still the prevalent way to do ministry in China, but it's sort of waning, because mm-hmm. people are realizing kind of what we've realized, which is to go into China, you know, clandestinely and, you know, sneak around and
right.
whatnot. And, you know, I often tell people that for the same reason that we have, you know, laws in our country that govern our homeland security, you know, the Patriot Act, and the government can do, you know, tap phones and whatnot. Our own U.S. government wants to know who's sneaking around our country.
Sure.
Because you just, those that are sneaking around, you don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And so I think the Chinese government kind of has that same idea. And so, yeah, it's a lot harder for those people.
Yeah.
Because the government is sort of weary of, you know, what they're doing. So so I often tell people about, and have a lot of other examples of other organizations that have now taken this approach to work a lot more openly. And, yeah, it takes a lot longer to develop these relationships as opposed to just, you know, going in there and sneaking around. The flip side of it is, you know, we come to China with a very warm reception. So
sure.
Certainly that's, at least in my mind, a great way to work there.
Interesting. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that works in different cultures, because there's mm-hmm. places where that might not be so
easy
to do.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But certainly in China, that is an encouragement to hear. And it makes sense. It really does make sense. Well, that's going to be kind of, excuse me, what we hear on your show on Saturdays. It's going to be at 5:30. I want to keep pointing to that. And people can tune in here at powerplayersradio.com and hear a little bit more about the progress of your group and what kind of different things are happening in China, how you see things, needs being met as a missionary to the Chinese people. People can also follow along on your website, which is ChinaResourceCenter.org.
That's right.
And if they go on there, I see you've got a blog. You'll have the radio shows archived. People mm-hmm. can listen in. There's a specific topic they want to hear about. You'll have that categorized, and they can go in there and check that out. Tell us a little bit more about what you're trying to accomplish through your website. By the way, people can go on and get your book, The Chinese Puzzle.
That's right.
Through your website as well, which I definitely recommend. And but what else can they find on your website? What kind of resource can they have from the perspective of an American who wants to be involved, and even the Chinese people? What kind of resource is that website to them?
Well, our website, we just did a sort of a revamp of our website just in the last month or so, and which is interesting to me just because it wasn't but, you know, 3 years ago that we did our first one, and it was amazing how quickly it kind of, you know, got old, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so, but certainly if you're interested in learning about China, there are just, what we've tried to do is put a lot of just hopefully very good information. Of course, you can, there's a link to my book, The Chinese Puzzle, which is, I often tell people, it's sort of a, you know, learning about China, modern day China 101 type book. It's only 150 pages, done on purpose so that those that are going to China, maybe for the first time, even on the flight to China, you can read the book, land on the ground with this, you know, new, hopefully very useful information on how to engage most effectively with the Chinese. One of the other key things that you'll find on our website is something that we do called the China Resource Journal, which is a two-page analysis of current trends in China. And that's actually gotten a very good response from folks because it's again, it's short. It's not a 12-page something you have to sort of slog through. And we hit all kinds of different topics on there. All of the old issues are archived on there. And so if you're coming to our website for the first time and you've not known about us, you know, there's just a lot of, hopefully a lot of good reading you can do. I mean, we've done stuff on all kinds of different topics. And so it's been, and that's a quarterly journal. Of course, you mentioned about the radio show, the episodes that we do that will be on on the radio station will then eventually make it to our website so that if you missed an episode, you can go there and either download it to your computer or what we've done also is when I post a new radio show on the website, it also has an automatic thing to go to iTunes so you can subscribe. And I know actually just a couple months ago, I got an iPod for the first time. And I've just really enjoyed subscribing to some of these podcasts. And so I have a little 3-mile route that I like to run. And it's just a fantastic time to either, you know, listen to some good teaching or, you know, something like our show. So that'll be available there as well. Of course, you can learn about our projects. The two main things that we do to serve the growth of the church in China are our Bible distribution events. So if you wanted to just read the latest trip report, that's available in a PDF format on our website. We also are just starting and just found a funding source for our church building project.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so for $30,000, we can build a church in rural China that seats about 400 to 500 people on a Sunday morning. And you just talk about the long-term impact. I mean, a church building that they'll be able to use for the next 100 years or more.
Yeah.
And all the ministry that they're going to be able to do there for $30,000 is a pretty great bang for your buck. So you can either read about those projects on the website. Of course, you can also contribute if you want to help us do these projects.
Yes.
That's available there as well. So probably the final thing I would say about the website is that there's a new blog that I've started. I'm really just kind of using the blog to just put random thoughts that I have about China. And, you know, there may be a new story that will come up and I'll just talk about that. And that gives people a chance to respond. And, you know, we're building a little community amongst people that have an interest in China. So the YouTube channel that we've started is still sort of, we're just still getting that set up. So you can see a couple of things on the YouTube channel, but if folks will stay tuned over time, we'll definitely have a lot more content on there as well.
Sure, and we'll update them through your show as well. And that'd again, I want to point to the website. Your website is ChinaResourceCenter.org, and the show will be on Saturdays right here on PowerPlayersRadio.com, and that's at 5:30 on Saturdays. So let's go back a little bit and talk about where you started with that, because we were going to hit on that in the beginning, and I kind of got you into some other stuff, but I do want to talk about where does a guy like you, growing up in Colorado, I know you said you had a roommate at CSU
who
was a Chinese guy, but where do you, I know you can get a heart for China, but where do you go off and, you know, say, okay, I'm going to actually do this ministry? I know you talked about it a little bit, but if you can elaborate more.
Sure. For me, there was probably a couple of things that happened. This roommate that I had who was from Taiwan, his parents grew up in Shanghai, and the only significance there is that then they spoke that in Shanghai they have a different dialect of Mandarin Chinese that they speak. So he was able to make quick friends with other people at CSU who were also from Shanghai, and he just began to invite me along to some of the things that they were doing. You know, there was some, you know, different Chinese student activities that they were doing. From that, I got involved with the Chinese church in Fort Collins. And at that same time, I actually became a Christian in my senior year in high school. So when I first went to CSU, I was still a very sort of young believer. And so I'm meeting these Chinese, and I had met a guy who was on staff with a ministry called the Navigators at Colorado State. And shortly after we actually met each other, he asked if I would be interested in doing Bible study together with him. And that was really the first person that had invested in my life in that way. And so after almost 3 years of just doing Bible study, really, I didn't know it at the time, but he was really discipling me. I mean, he was really teaching me the spiritual disciplines and mm-hmm. things that you need as a new believer. After 3 years of meeting with him and him investing in my life, he asked me if I'd be interested in joining the Navigator staff. And of course, after seeing his life and what he had committed his life to, before he even asked me, I knew that that's what I wanted to commit my life to, you know, impacting people for Christ. And so that's sort of where the heart for people came. And then, you know, this whole thing about China was just the people that I met at CSU then would lead to me going on staff for the Navigators. And then in 1996, there was a Navigator-sponsored trip to China that I'd made. And boy, once I actually went there, God just so grabbed my heart, and I was just so, so compelled by what he was doing there and felt like he wanted me to be involved. And so really since that time, you know, we've been on staff with a couple of different organizations and whatnot, but the focus has always been impacting China for Christ.
Now that you've been doing this for some time, any in particular stories about something that happened in China that kind of blew you away when you were there, or even here in the States, I suppose?
Yeah, you know, especially with the work we do in with the China Resource Center, we're serving the growth of the rural church. And so, of course, it always blows me away just the disparity. And there are more news stories that are coming out about this between the rich and the poor in mm-hmm. China, and the poor are even becoming poorer. And so you talk about people that I'm meeting that are making, you know, two or three U.S. dollars a month,
wow.
you know, for their salary. And yet amongst those who are Christians at that level, you wouldn't know that they're missing out on anything at all. I mean, the joy that they have for Christ is just so impressive. And so I'm actually thinking about, you know, if I can work it out, I've got another book idea, which is to just go out in those areas for several months and just kind of be with them and just kind of learn, you know, what it is that they've got that we're sort of losing, I think. I think, too, that out in these rural areas, there's, the growth of the church in China is just so, so kind of mind-blowing. I mean, I just came back from China a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and I met with a rural pastor. We're helping him with one of these church buildings. He told me that in a 10-kilometer area, which is about, 6 square miles,
right.
It was sort of his ministry area, that they've baptized 10,000 new believers in the last year.
That's amazing.
And so you go, and I think about my own church here. I mean, how would it change our church if we had 10,000 new believers,
yeah.
you know, baptized believers? And boy, you're just talking about a lot of training and, you know, the staff it would take. And, you know, all these people need resources and training in their new walk with Christ. And so it kind of gives you an idea of what these rural pastors are, you know, are dealing with out in these areas.
That's amazing. And it definitely speaks to the need and the great positive effect it has for the kingdom to build one of these churches. What an amazing opportunity. Well, we are coming up to the end of this very first show, we'll call it, for you. It's you're going to point to everything that's coming. And the China Resource Show will be on Saturdays at 5:30. And again, I would encourage everybody listening to go right to your website at ChinaResourceCenter.org.
Thank you.
And
that's right.
Again, my guest today was Mike Falkenstein, president and founder of China Resource Center. And I just want to encourage you all to check that out and get his book, The Chinese Puzzle. I would encourage you. It's a good read. And you can get that at his site. Again, ChinaResourceCenter.org. Thanks so much, Mike.
Yeah, thank you.